is going to do what you say to do, not necessarily what she has written down, but what you are saying to her heart right now. And you love her so much, and you want her to know that. So bless you, Patricia.
Thanks, Reg. Well, Gord and Reg, you have introduced what I'm going to share today perfectly, because I'm going to share my healing stories. So God knew what he was doing, and that was not an interruption or anything. It was a great introduction. Pastor Colin asked me to share some of my healing experiences and sort of what led me to be so involved with the healing room. So I am just going to go through some of those today, and some of them are really vulnerable, but I believe that there are people here today that need to hear, and so I am going to just share those. Probably one of the most significant physical healings that I had in my life was back in 1995. I had hurt my back very badly, and I was in much pain, and I had sciatic pain all the way down my leg. I was on anti-inflammatories for months. I would get up early in the morning before milking cows to have a bite to eat so I could take a pill, go back to bed for half an hour until it kicked in, went outside, milked cows, came back in, laid on the couch, got lunches ready for the kids, got them out the door, went back out, did some more milking, came back in and took another pill. And I lived like that for about a year. And then one day, it was worse than that. And I got to the point where I couldn't even get out of bed. And so Harvey had to help me get out of bed. And I had him take me to emergency. I was in so much pain. And so when I got there, they had done some x-rays and they had done, you know, some examinations to tell me that I had a herniated disc. And so I was in bed 23 and a half hours out of the 24 in a day, only up to have something to eat and get to the bathroom. And Harvey had asked me what I needed. And at that time, we had just started coming to Solid Rock. And Pastor Colin had given me a book called Love, Forgiveness, and Acceptance. And so I said to Harvey, you know what, if you could bring me in that book and bring me in my Bible, that's all I need. And so he did that. And it was day three, and I was laying in my bed. And it was in the morning, and I had that, I had my Bible laying on my chest. And, I mean, at that time, I didn't know a lot about healing, and I certainly didn't know how to stand on the Word of God or any of the things that we have learned since. But I knew that there was power in prayer. And so that day, I was laying in my bed, and there was this amazing warmth that came right at the small of my back where that pain was. And all of a sudden, there was no pain. There was absolutely no pain. And the day before, my father-in-law had come in, and he asked me what I needed, and I said, you know, I really would like a hair dryer. And so he went home to get the hair dryer, and or he brought the hair dryer then the next day. The morning that I was healed, he brought me the hair dryer. And by the time he got there, I was up packing my bag. And he says, so, like, what are you doing? And I said, well, I'm going home. And he said, what do you mean you're going home? And I said, the Lord healed me. And he wasn't one that maybe believed in all that. And so he questioned me. And I said, well, I'll race you. And so I challenged him a race down the hallway. And but anyway, the doctors wanted to do surgery on me. And they said that was the only answer. But God showed up and he showed me, him, and family members that there was another answer, and it was God. So when I went down to the nurse's station on a pretty quick trot, and the doctor was standing there, and I said to him that I wanted to go home, and he said, what do you mean you're going to go home? And I said, well, the Lord healed me. And he just kind of like, okay, whatever. I'm going to write you up a prescription for Percocet. So I let him do it, but I never, ever, ever, ever took one of those pills. And that spot in my back has never returned. And in fact, there's still warmth there. So that is was a huge testimony in my life. In this church, we probably all remember the story of Daniel and how little Daniel drowned. And that experience in my life was life-changing. At that time, we had an intercessory prayer team, and I was the head of that team. So I would get the phone calls, and then I would filter them down through the prayer team. And I know most of you know the story, but some of you probably don't. But Emily Ness, she's not here today. I wish she was. But Emily's grandson drowned. And we were having church at that time out at the CRE. And Emily had come to church Sunday morning and had, well, Pastor Colin had known because I think he had gone down already. But anyway, or maybe he was going that afternoon. Anyway, her grandson had drowned in a pond, I believe. And the doctors had said there was no life there. He was brain dead. He was on life support, and he was not going to survive. So we were, I think, at that time in the church, really just learning about the power of our words, learning about healing. And so I know Pastor Colin and Jane and Emily went down that day, and they would come back and phone me and ask or tell me what prayer was needed. And so every day it was something different. It might have been, you know, we want Daniel to open his eyes, or we want Daniel to twitch his fingers, or whatever. And we would pray for those specific things, as small as they were, and God would do it. And so the beginning of every next call was a praise report and then a new request. And so every single day there was something new that God was doing. And as most of you might remember, I think it was just a few weeks later, that little boy that the doctor said was going to die or remain dead walked across our stage at church. And that little guy today is, I think, 13 or 14 years old, and he was completely healed by God, completely. There was nothing left broken. God completely healed him. So those stories, they change you. They change what you believe. They change who you are. Shortly after that time, we were introduced to a ministry in this church called Ancient Paths. And Don and Karen Glidden headed up that ministry. And Harvey and I did marriage ministry under that umbrella as well. And the healing that we saw during those Ancient Paths sessions, they too were life-changing. To sit in the rooms and pray for people and watch their entire demeanor change, see them get delivered from addictions and physical ailments, mental, spiritual, whatever, we saw it and we witnessed it, and it does, it changes you. And then not long ago, we met up with Maggie from the Healing Rooms in Ontario. And again, what we witnessed at the Norseman that day, and how we took that information and we put it into practice here in this church in our own healing rooms. And the things that we have seen and continue to see on a weekly basis in there, it just gives you that courage and that faith to know that God's word is true. What he says in his word in Psalm 91, that is truth. And so, as Reg said, yeah, you put on the word of God every day and you take that flu shot. And I seldom get sick. If I feel any kind of symptom coming on, I take that Psalm 91 and I apply it to myself. And you know, when we take communion, all of what we need in our life for healing, Jesus did on the cross. It's ours to take. And we just need to take that, and we just need to apply that authority and apply that blood to our lives in each and every way. I know that some of you have heard the story of the warts that I had, but I think it's worth mentioning again. I had two warts. I had one on my finger, and I had one on the bottom of my foot. The plantar's wart on the bottom of my foot was about the size of a toonie. And I had that wart there for about 15 years. And I was bound and determined. I was not going to any doctor about it. I didn't like the thought of what he might do, first of all. But second of all, I knew that God was bigger than that. And so Pastor Colin and Jane were down at the Believers Conference. It was probably one of the first Believers Conferences that they went to. And on the Saturday morning, I decided that I was going to watch Gloria online, and she was doing her healing school. And so during that broadcast, she talked about laying your hands on your body where you may have sickness or disease. And so I had those two warts that were bugging me. And so I did pray over those. And that night, I was sitting down watching TV. And I just sort of ran my hand, one hand over the other, because that wart was on this finger. And that wart on the edge was loose. And I took my fingernail and I kind of ran it around the edge. And that wart came completely out that day. So I prayed in the morning, and by that night, that wart was completely gone. And so when it came out, there was a little bit of a stem, a little bit of a white stem in there. And I guess through ancient paths, I learned about the root of things. And I realized that if we don't pluck the root out, that things can come back. It's like a thistle. When you pull a thistle in the garden, if you don't get the root, that thistle's going to come back. So I went upstairs and I found a tweezers and I took that and I pulled that root out. And that wart has never, ever returned. The wart on my foot, however, wasn't as responsive. And it took a long time for me to figure out why that was. And probably only a couple of years ago, I was sitting on the couch and I had my foot up on the bench, and Harvey said to me, "Patricia, you need to go to the doctor and you need to have him take care of that wart." And seriously, it was about this big on the bottom of my foot. And so it was causing lots of pressure and, you know, lots of pain. And so what I was doing was I was taking a corn remover and I was chewing that away. And probably about once a week I had to do that. And so Harvey said, "You know, you really need to go to the doctor and have that done." And I said, "No, I'm not. I am not." We had learned in church about praying. We had learned the power of our words. But God used that to teach me something, because what I was doing was I was praying for my wart. It wasn't my wart, but I was praying that it was. And so I started praying differently, and I started praying for my foot to be healed instead of my wart to be healed. And probably within about 2 weeks of that, that wart completely disappeared. Absolutely completely disappeared, and has never returned as well. So I learned a lot about the power of our words. And I know that many of you who have been in this church a long time as well, when we started learning that, we also held each other accountable. And we had agreement that, you know, if we heard each other talking about a sickness or a disease, or I don't even want to say it, but my diabetes or my cancer or my, we cannot say mine, because as soon as we do, we claim it to be our own. And it is not ours. We need to claim healing over our body, not over sickness and disease. So as the years have passed, I've come to learn a lot about healing in different ways and how he does it for different people. I have been healed in my quiet times alone with God. I've been healed in the healing room. I've been healed surrounded by fellow believers. I've been healed in the counseling room. I have been healed in Desert Streams, which is another ministry in Edmonton where I went to. After we went through all the things we went through in the church, I needed healing. That pain that I experienced during that time was deeper than anything I knew. And I knew I needed to go somewhere outside of here even to get that healing. And so I went to a ministry in Edmonton called Desert Streams, and there was healing that came through being vulnerable and being open to share and to allow God to come into those places in my heart that had been wounded. I am still waiting for some healing. There's some healing in some relationships that hasn't come yet, but I believe that God is going to do that, and I don't know how exactly, but I believe that God is working on that every day, even though we don't see it the way we want to, and it doesn't come as quick as we might want to. He is working behind the scenes, and he is doing things, and all we need to do is we need to trust him, we need to be faithful, we need to stand on the word of God, and we need to apply the blood of Jesus. We need to stand on that scripture. The word says that we were healed by his stripes, and we need to believe that we were healed by his stripes. And it also talks about coming to others. The word says in James, is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church and pray for them and anoint them with oil. And we experience that every week in the healing room. And many of us could testify to what we've witnessed, what we've experienced in there, and the power of God when we come together as fellow believers and we stand in that truth. So I am going to open the floor up now to anyone who would like to share what has happened in their experience in the healing room, whether that is, I mean, we can't as ministry teams share details, but if there's somebody who would like to share their own testimony of what might have happened to them in the healing room, I invite you to come up and just share just a short little testimony about your experience. Everyone's shy.
Like sharing my favorite. It was a few years ago up in Sherwood Park. We had this big gal. Oh, and she was big. Came in there. She had tubes up her nose, and she was hooked up to the oxygen tanks and everything. And she says, well, I've been to Benny Hinn and all these big ministries, because she was right at the last stages of cancer. Like, she was really bad shape. And so she tells us she's been to all these things, and I'm standing there admiring her persistence. Like, she is after the healing. But my thought process standing behind her was, you went to all those guys and you come to our little group? We're just in the bottom of a hotel, eh? Like, it's dumb for me to think that way, but that's the way I was thinking. I didn't say it out loud, but I'm thinking, you come to see us? So, okay. So I just started. I didn't get 1 minute into my shtick or whatever you want to call it. You know, you sort of have your little thing that you do. I just got started, and she started jumping and waving her hands, and she's so excited. I'm standing there really puzzled, because I didn't really do anything. I just got started. And I says, what's up? She says, I'm healed. She is so excited. I says, how do you know you're healed? Like, she's got her tubes up her nose and everything. She still doesn't look any different. And she says, there's no pain in my chest. It just went. It's gone. I'm healed. Well, we all danced and celebrated, and well, what was really neat was, I'd say about a year and a half, 2 years later, she was from Slave Lake, and I always ask people from out of town, how did you hear about us? So here's another gal in from Slave Lake a year and a half or so later, and I says, how did you hear about us? She says, my friend got healed of cancer down here, and she said, you get down there. I could just see her. She looked like a really bossy old gal. And that really made me celebrate again, because she kept her healing. And so That was always my favorite. It was just amazing. Like, I guess the amazing part of it is it wasn't really my faith or anything. I look at it as the humor of God that healed her, because he saw my attitude. You come to see us. I'm standing there thinking that, right? And it was just as if God says, I'll change that attitude right now. Bam, she's healed. So I looked at it as God's humor more so than my faith or anything. I was more surprised than anything. There was really no faith on my part. I'm just standing there. And to me, that's just the most exciting healing. I see lots of them. They're all exciting because nobody wants pain and all that agony, right? So it's all fun. Anyway, who's next?
Dennis.
Thanks, Kevin. I guess for myself, this is my own personal experience. Like, you know, that sometimes we're kind of shy about telling people what's wrong or what's happening, and just I'm one of those. But anyways, it's the light and the darkness. Bring it out into the light. Like, you know, that's basically because God will look after it. But if you keep it in yourself, and that's like in the dark. And the other part is the power of agreement. That I prayed for myself at home. Yeah, it's going to work. But I came to the healing for the power of agreement. And it's just something that is in my heart that bless Patricia for doing it, bless Pastor Colin and Jane for initializing it or however it came about, but it is a real blessing.
It is. Amen. Margaret?
You know, I have to go. When we first started, I think it's almost 3 years now, I was scared spitless. I thought, what am I doing here? But you know what? Every time Patricia comes and phones and or texts, are you available? I want to be in that room. The Holy Spirit works, is working. And the one that stands out the most to me is this woman came in, and she looked like 1 foot could be in the grave. And I thought, Holy Spirit, I'm glad you're here. And we just prayed. Everybody had a word. And, you know, her countenance changed. She just totally, her face, and she was saying, I can move. My legs are okay. My arm's not hurting. I'm going to go home and start painting my baseboards. And I said, really? I mean, there's your faith, you know, you're just there, but when the Holy Spirit moves so quickly. So I went home thinking, Lord, you're so good. So 2 days later, I phoned her because I know her personally. I said, I want to come over and help you paint. She says, my son's helping me. I'm okay. I says, you're still, she says, I feel great. So that one touched my heart so much because I know her personally. And she's still doing really well.
Amen.
I'm not very good at speaking in public, but a year ago, October, I fell. And I hit my head. And I called my brother to take me to the hospital because I was on anticoagulants, blood thinners, and by the time I got to the hospital, I was unconscious, and they did surgery, and I talked to my neurologist weeks later. I was in the hospital 7 weeks, and he said, I never thought I'd see you again. He said, your brain was totally shifted over to the left, and my own doctor said I never thought I would see you again either. And I just thank and praise the Lord for total healing because I'm a miracle walking.
You are.
So
amen.
I just thank the Lord for that.
Amen. That's awesome. Fun.
Ways I'm not maybe a very good example to be a member of the healing room because I got in there when it started from the start, and the things that come to you that only God can give you, that, that he gives you things for the people that come. So I know it's stuff that I wouldn't think of that it comes, but for my own personal thing, about 2 months ago, well, my knees have been bothering me off and on, and I've prayed for myself, and in the healing room, I'm guessing about 2-3 months ago, Kevin prayed for him, and still nothing much happened. And it's just funny how God works. And about 2 months ago, we started going to this, I guess you'd sort of call it an, but it works. This lady teaches us how to build bodybuilding, or rejuvenate the core of your body. And I started doing that. And I think it's just, I know God is the one that this, that stuff doesn't heal. We have to do some things to make it. But now I'm reading that book that we got, the devotion from Ken Hagen. And I've read ahead a ways. And there he says, God doesn't heal us from the outside. He heals us. He starts on the inside. And it's the inside that has to get healed first before the outside.
Thanks, Ron.
Well, Ron, Patricia said that we can rebuke somebody if they say something that's out of line. So I just thought I'd let you finish, but you are a great example. Lots of people in the world think that once you're past 65, she's time to just cruise on in to wherever that is, wherever they think they're going. Florida, Vancouver Island, wherever you want to say. But Ron and Bev, I know you've had healing, amazing healing. You're great examples. You're still doing it, Ron. You're up, you come every week, you're part of the team. That's a testimony in itself, going, I know I'm not where I should be, Lord, but you're using me where I'm at. So Ron and Bev, I both bless you for doing what you're doing.
Yes. Yes. You know, I think that it was almost a little bit of a surprise, because when the wart went away, I said to God, like, what happened? And I believe the Holy Spirit said to me, you changed the way you were praying. And I think it came from teaching here. It just happened. I didn't do it intentionally. That one I didn't do intentionally. The Lord, I think through teaching, had me change the way I was doing it. But it wasn't a conscious, I need to change. It wasn't that I said to myself, I need to not pray for that wart. I need to, you know. The Holy Spirit told me afterwards why it changed. So it wasn't intentional. What was the second part of your question? Oh, absolutely. So, I mean, we hear that in the healing room all the time, where people will say, well, you know, I need to pray for my diabetes or my cancer. And yes, to absolutely teach people, and I take every opportunity. My ears have gotten pretty tuned in, you know, to what people say, and to gently, in love, just teach them how to pray differently and how to speak over their body differently. So, It's been a revelation that has come through time, but yeah, it's really it's really about hearing, and then it is about speaking truth, and changing the way we talk, changing the way we think, for sure. Does that answer your question, Kathy?
That is a good question, because I struggle with that too. I just, like, you know, somebody will say, how are you feeling today? And, oh, I have a migraine or whatever. And this one, yes, she's into it.
Love you, Kathy.
Yes. We spend a lot of time together. But she, you know, and I really struggle. Like, how do you say, well, I have a migraine today without claiming it, sort of thing? But you can maybe help me out later. But, Ray, with the healing room, I don't know. I assume everybody gets a letter once in a while in their mailbox of people praying. You know, your name is on top, and, you know, it's I'm praying for this and that for you. And I'm going through some stuff in my life, and I need to, you know, it's stuff anyway. And I get this letter in the mailbox, and it was just like bang on, you know. It was just like, how do you guys know this? How do you know what I'm going through and stuff like that? And it just amazes me, you know. And I talked to you about it, and you said that, you know, you pray, mm-hmm. and the name isn't revealed at all.
Can I just talk about the process?
Yes.
So the process that happens, you don't have to be done. So the process that happens is the people on the reception, they pray over the list of names of the people that come to church here. And they have a slip of paper, and they put the name at the top, and then they put it face down. It comes to us in the healing room face down on a clipboard. And so the healing team prays over that name, and we don't know until we've all gotten a word. So the leader in the room would write down the words and the pictures or the phrases or whatever, the scripture maybe, whatever God gives them through the Holy Spirit, that's written down on a piece of paper. And then when everybody on the team has something, then, well, you know what, we don't always get something. That's true, we don't always. But we flip that piece of paper over, and then we see who we have been praying for, and we write down then on that sheet of paper what the Lord has given us. And we hear time and time and time again how many times that those exact words that the Lord has given do fit the situation perfectly and bless that person. I think timing, God knows. God knows what people need to hear. He knows who he's going to use to speak it. He knows who he's going to use to, you know, to bring whatever it is in whatever shape or form of healing that he's going to do. And he's faithful to us. And it's so good to hear that, you know, you were blessed by that, because oftentimes things don't make sense to us. You know, we might get, it's about, I think something that I got once. Maybe there's a reed in a pond. And so, you know, what does that mean, God? And so we look for scripture, and you find scripture that talks about the broken reed. You know, it's just bizarre things sometimes that he uses, and pictures that he uses to have us bless other people. But it is very unique. It's as unique to the, you know, to the person as you can get. So it's very, very cool.
I remember showing you, and course she gets that little giggle, you know, like, you know, God, it's all God, you know. And she just explained to me what happened, and I was just like, I was blown away, because it talked about freedom, and that's exactly what I needed to hear. I need to be free.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And
and if I could just add something to Kathy's statement she made earlier about migraines, you know, how when we are experiencing symptoms do we communicate that? And I think that we do it very carefully. And, you know, it's one thing to say I am experiencing symptoms rather than I have a migraine, or rather than I have the flu, or rather than whatever. I think, you know, we can communicate those things, but very carefully, because we do not want to claim it. We do not want to give the enemy any room to come in and get in the way.
Just, and the Lord just brought this back when Susanna and I went to the Believers Conference this year. Kenneth Copeland talked about this. And he goes, there's fact and there's truth. And they're two completely different things. The fact is that you may be attacked with the symptoms of a migraine. That is a fact in your life. Mm-hmm. Or the fact is that the symptoms of cancer are coming on your body. Or the fact is that you're being attacked with unemployment. But what's the truth? What does the Lord say about those things? According to 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes we have been healed. That is truth. That's not a fact. That is truth. That is absolute truth that we get from the word of the Lord. So there's two completely different things. That's something that the Lord just brought back to me. There's fact and there's truth. Mm-hmm. So the fact is there's symptoms of lower back pain in your body. But the truth is that the Lord on the cross of Calvary shed his blood so that we are completely healed of those symptoms. But that's not my back pain. That's the symptoms that are coming on my body. Amen. Fact and truth.
Yeah. Thanks, Reg. Jude.
Well, interesting that you got to the part about speaking about symptoms instead of saying, right? Because that's one thing that I find sometimes when someone will say to me, oh, you sound like you got a really bad cold, and I'll say, well, I've been fighting some symptoms over the last little while, or that sort of thing. It's not to deny that what, you know, people can hear in my voice, there's things that are actually, you know, seem to be there, but it's like, no, these are symptoms of something that's going on in my body, and God is healing it, and I am fine, and I'm going to walk in that. Amen. The other piece that I wanted to say, from my own experience and from what I've seen with my family and some of that, is that God isn't about only the physical healing. He's about our emotional and our mental health healing, our the symptoms that we can, that can come on us of depression, of, you know, anxiety, those kinds of things as well, are some of the things that we've seen through the healing room. And again, and not just through the healing room, but in my work and what I, you know, and the job that I have, I see that often in my office as well. And when I'm counseling folks, I will say to them, you know, you can just call it the anxiety. Don't take it and own it as mine, ever. Just, you can still speak about the anxiety symptoms are showing up again, and this is really hard for me today. I can then say to them, okay, what, you know, we can go and look at that and pull it apart a bit for them and come to the place about where that cause might be or what that root might be, and then be able to say, okay, deep breath, knowing that the truth is that that is a symptom only of some of the circumstances that are going on around you, and that God is still in control of all of those things. Now, in my work, God's present every day, and I pray that he's present out of every word that comes out of my mouth, but I may not use scripture, and I may not even speak to them about the love of God or anything, but the truth is still there in that. These are circumstances only about what's going on here, and you can still combat that anxiety by choosing what you believe, choosing what you say, and choosing about who the goodness and the good love that is out there. And I know that that love comes from God, and I know that when I pray for them at home, that I am speaking God's truth over them, and I am praying God's truth over them. So they are still learning that process. I mean, you talked about, I think it was Kevin, somebody talked about, no, it was earlier when Gord was talking about where you're making those bridges with people that don't believe yet and maybe not even heard of the Lord. Or if they've heard of him, it's been a hard experience and hasn't been positive. It's about the love of Christ being allowed to flow through us. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's powerful. That's what heals, is God's love is there for every person, whether they are walking or born again yet or not. It doesn't matter. We still need to be that manifest hands and feet and shedding his blood, not shedding his blood, but sharing his love because of the shed blood of Christ, that he didn't die for just me now that I'm born again. He died for me way before I was there, when I was still. Isaiah talks about this infant in my beginning of my faith. I was this infant that was flailing in the mud,
in her own mess, broken and wounded and with no hope. And God picked me up and cleaned me off, diapered me, powdered me, and wrapped me in the blanket of his love and his healing, and brought me to a place of being able to love others and minister to them in a way that brings them the fullness and love of God in a way that isn't intrusive or harmful. And I'm so blessed. And I learned that by coming to this body. I learned this by listening to Pastor Colin. My journey has been over 20 years to get to this place of who I am and how he's blessed me in so many ways. Healed my children. Still in the process of healing some things for them because some of their wounds are so deep and they are, you know. But God is so good. He's so faithful. And I just wanted to say that. And I just wanted to say thank you for being so vulnerable and bringing the healing room to us and allowing some of us to be part of that. Amen.
This is a little bit tough again. I would love to move to Camrose, but God hasn't said yes yet. And he has reasons for why he hasn't said yes yet, and that's okay. On Friday at work, the last 5 minutes of my shift, I was rushing. You know how things happen at the very last minute. I was carrying a box that was 2 foot square, cruising around to put it into a pallet carton that was 4 by 4 foot square. I saw in the corner of my eye there was a pallet jack there and thought, okay, you need to avoid the pallet jack. It should not have been there. But work boots are bigger than normal shoes, and my toe of my work boot caught it, and I went sprawling. And the floor is concrete. And this was a brand new pen in my pocket that morning. And people came running. Are you okay? Are you okay? Did you hit your head? Are you all right? Instantly, I landed on my left cheek, and that was pretty sore. And I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine. And I did a, because I'm a first aider as well, I did a body check, and I thought, okay, I don't think anything's broken. A bit of trouble breathing, which I found out later was because I bruised some ribs pretty good too. But I did agree to go to the hospital because that's policy. And the doctor looked at me like, why are you here? Did you ask to come here, he said, or did they insist you come here? And I said, they told me I had to come. And he's just, oh. But policy is policy. So I saw my chiropractor yesterday, and he tested me again. Just checking to make sure there was no hairline fractures, because I've broken my tailbone 3 times, and I've had a broken rib, and I know that feels a certain way. And nothing's broken, absolutely nothing. Mm. So I came home, and I had all this list of things I needed to do, and I just really felt led, you know, you didn't have time for your devotions this morning, do them now. So I sat down with the Lord, and I said, what's this about? And he said, do you remember the car accident you're in? And it's almost 24 years ago. And I have some practical application for everything we've talked about today. And I said, yeah, Lord, I remember that. It was a total life changer. I was training for a bodybuilding competition. And I was going through on a green light. I was doing 60. A guy came racing through at a right angle to me. He was doing 80. He was on the red light, and we collided. The people that saw the accident, a tow truck driver and his girlfriend, thought I was dead. They saw everything that happened. And again, I sat there and did a body sort of check, and I thought, okay, something's wrong with my back up in this thoracic area. But I thought, I think I'm okay. I just can't find my glasses. But they called the cops, and I ended up eventually, a doctor came to our home, and he checked me out, and he said, well, he said, you've got a lot of whiplash. You're not going to be in the weight room again for 10 years. I haven't. But I'm doing all right. But what the Lord said was, we're going to go to the immediate few moments right after the accident happened. Because I know I came to the healing room. I've gone through everything that the Lord brought to me. And, you know, you need to forgive this. You need to forgive this. You need to forgive this and let it go. But that immediate moment when that accident happened, that trauma, the Lord said to me, it was like it was sitting across from me in a chair, and we were in a counseling room, and it was the Holy Spirit that was there, and he said, what did you feel? And I said, I felt so scared, so frightened. And in the situation I was in at the time, I had no one to come beside me, like Dennis does, like Wayne does, come beside me and say, affirm me and say, that must have really hurt. It's okay to be scared. It's okay. It's okay. I didn't have anybody. I showed no bruising or contusions or anything on the outside. And everybody looked at me and said, well, you must be okay. It took 2.5 years for my sciatic nerve to grow back together. It was so torn. And pumping Tylenol and Advil until my eyes were dilated. And I started getting into, I'm gonna have a positive attitude. You know the world. I'm having a positive attitude. I'm going to be better in 6 weeks. I'm going to do this, right? Just like the Humboldt survivors. And I've been carrying this weight for 24 years in February. And the Holy Spirit said, put your hand on your heart. And he said, we're going to agree. We are going to agree that the Lord is going to help you recover from that fear. From that terrible fear. And he said, say it out loud. I agree that I'm going to recover with the Lord's help from this. And then I fell asleep. About half an hour later, I woke up and the Holy Spirit's still there. And he said, what else did you feel? And I said, well, I felt abandoned. Because the only comment I got from my then husband was, you wrecked my car. You wrecked my car. There was no... And he said, okay. Put his arm around me again. And he affirmed that that was awful. I'm so sorry you felt that way. And he affirmed that it was okay to feel abandoned. And he said, now say, put your hand on your heart and agree with me that the Lord is going to help you recover from the abandonment. And that went on a couple more times through the evening. And I thought, and I thought, and the Lord kept saying, you need to speak. You need to speak today. And I said, okay, well, then here's a practical application. It was just the immediate few moments after a trauma. And when, if you grew up in a perfect home where there was a parent that was supportive and able to speak to you, all of us did. So if you've had in a moment where there was an immediate trauma and that little leftover, put your hand on your heart and say to the Lord, I agree that you're going to help me recover from this. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thanks, Evangeline. And that reminded me that I forgot to talk about the forgiveness piece. And one of the things on our little sheets when you come into the healing room is there anyone in your life that you need to forgive? Because we know that
that power of unforgiveness can hinder healing. It can cause all kinds of things in our life, but it will hinder healing. If you have unforgiveness towards yourself, towards God, towards other people, that will hinder your healing experience. So that is a powerful, powerful information that we need to take to heart. I think unbelief and unforgiveness are two of the biggest hindrances to us receiving our healing. Is there anyone else that wants to share? Okay.
Quite a cross-section of coming to these places of healing and understanding and learning. When I came to know the Lord, I came from a background that spoke all the truth, lots of it, always short-circuited. They'd always put this caveat in, if the Lord wills, right? And so coming into this environment and being challenged, and my heart from the very first day coming here, my heart challenged to believe. Because what I had before, I had my belief in the Lord Jesus Christ for my salvation and my eternal destiny, but I didn't have belief for the everyday. I didn't have belief for the every circumstance. So my sharing it goes back about a year and a half ago when we were starting to prepare for our trip to Africa. And the enemy decided that he wanted to attack my foot again. And I pray over it. I speak over it. No response. I ask the Lord, okay, what's going on? Maybe I wasn't ready to receive an answer. My attitude may not have been perfect in that moment to receive a clear answer as to why this foot was being attacked again. And my wife encourages me. She says, you should go to the prayer room. You should go to the healing room. And I'm not going to the healing room. No. Because all that background stuff is getting in the way. And so I'm encouraged again. Ken, you should go to the healing room. And in the process, of course, I listen to my wife. Don't always obey. And sometimes you need another voice. Just as maybe it's the way the Lord grows you. He takes you personally, and this is how I'm going to grow you, Ken. So I'm walking, I'm limping back out of here one Sunday morning, and one of my brothers comes up to me and says, Ken, you should go to the healing room. And so I go home that night, and I'm praying, and I'm saying, Lord, I really don't want to go, because I don't like sharing weakness, and that's the way I viewed this. The Lord revealed some things about the root of the history with my feet being in trouble, and I thought I had it taken care of. But this new attack really kind of threw me for a loop. So I'm praying there, and my wife, one more time, she comes to me and says, Ken, you got to deal with this with the Lord. She said, you go to the healing room. I said, okay. I said, Lord, I'll agree to this. And I said, I've had so much confirmation, I can't argue. I cannot argue with what you're doing here. So I come into the healing room, sit down, they take their recommendations, you write down what you're coming for, and they don't show the people in the room. And it's my turn to go in. And I go in, there's a group in there, and I can't remember all who was there except one, because she stood out. And not to put her on the spot or anything like that, but Myrna had the words that I needed for the moment and for in Africa. The word, and it's still one of those weird things. One of those weird things because in my head I'm assessing the situation and I have an idea of what this feels like. I have a description for it. I have a picture for it. And Myrna comes out with to clear the stones away. Because that's exactly what this feels like. I'm stepping on stones all the time. Stones about the size of golf balls. And I thought, okay, that's pretty direct. And so I stood in agreement with them. I received the praying over me. I received the healing that the Lord offered me. And my foot recovered. But it didn't stop there. That term, that clearing the stones away, didn't stop there. And so off to Africa we go. And just prior to the event, Pastor Colin puts on us a task that we're going to speak. And he asked me to speak a whole service as well, not just a 15-minute teach session, but a service. And the Lord drops on me that I need to preach what I had the opportunity to share here about the Good Father. He said, I need you to preach this. This is the Holy Spirit speaking to me. I need you to do this. I said, all right, Lord, I'll study and I'll get ready and I'll prepare. And at one point, once we got to the Maasai Mara, the Lord said, stop studying. He said, I want you to depend on me up there. I said, okay, stop studying. And we had several meetings that week. I was doing the Saturday service. The Friday night we had a celebration. I had some wonderful food, gorged myself on watermelon, and at 4 o'clock in the morning woke up with kidney stones. Why did I know they were kidney stones? Because I've had kidney stones before, and it felt like the same kind of pain. I was assured it was a kidney stone when I felt it move. Felt it move down my body. I said, okay. Brother Dennis was with me at that time. He was my roommate. I doubt he saw it happening, but he knew I was in pain. He knew I was praying over it. But I was in so much pain at that moment that my body was vibrating on the bed. From head to toe, vibrating from the pain. And so I'm praying over it. The team prays over me. This is later on in the morning. They're getting ready to go to the morning service. The team prays over me. And Pastor Colin comes in and prays with me. And I'm learning. I'm learning about the words. I'm learning about the truth. I'm learning about those things to pray over myself. And I cannot remember the verse, chapter, verse, whatever, but I remember the words. And I pray it often. And the Holy Spirit directed me to pray it over myself at that moment when Pastor Colin was in there. And it's wonderful, Counselor, Prince of Peace. Thank you. Right. Right. So, what the Holy Spirit has directed me to pray over myself is, hallelujah, wonderful. Hallelujah, Counselor. Hallelujah, Mighty God. Hallelujah, Everlasting Father. Hallelujah, Prince of Peace. This dis-ease in my body is coming under the authority of the Prince of Peace. And Pastor Colin has to leave. And I remember, I'm saying to the Lord, I'm directing the ministering angels, learning about ministering angels. I'm directing the ministering angels. I'm saying, you know, ministering angels, I could use a spiritual lithotripsy right now. I really could. in the pain I was experiencing, I could not find one position of comfort in the whole morning, from 4 o'clock right up to the 11 o'clock time period when they had to leave. And it was interesting. I turned my head on my pillow, and for a millisecond, it was, oh, that's comfortable, and blacked out. 4 hours, they were coming back around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So from 11 to 3 o'clock, I was out. I woke up, no more pain. I went to the washroom, 6 pieces came up. The Lord works. Ministering angels work. Faith works. Because I'm in an environment that encourages it. I'm in an environment that tells me to use different words when I pray. To use the truth over the fact. And I got to preach that afternoon. And I shared the message. And I shared the experience that the enemy didn't want me to preach it. And at the end of that message, one man responded. One man came home. One man heard the message that was affecting his life, where he had left the Lord and went off attracted by the world and money and situations in life. Does the Lord do it only because of a reason for that? Nope. But in that situation, with a woman who sends a word over me that he's going to clear the stones away, his word doesn't come back void.
Amen.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Amen.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. We're so thankful for Jesus, but you know, I'm so thankful for each and every one of you, the saints of God, and people like Patricia, Myrna, Judy, and Kevin, all those people that are up in that room that basically are the quarterbacking. We know the Holy Spirit's the one, but there is someone in the physical that gets it going, and the Holy Spirit then flows. And I thank God that we're able to gather together in a place like Solid Rock, where we have pastors that are on fire for God, that they're not happy where they're at, they want more, and they want to transfer that into each and every one of us, and that we can be built up, our inner man, the real person who God made us, our spirit man first. And that inner man can have preeminence over the things of the world. So I bless you. I thank you. You know, iron sharpens iron. And we all need one another. But I'd just like to share something that's, to me, a revelation that's so important. We need to sow a seed before the harvest. Because we all need a harvest in our life. Whether it's healing, or whether it's emotional, or whether it's financial. But we can't wait till we need that before we call on it. We have to start sowing that seed. So we put that seed in the ground. And we're believing for harvest. Andrew, when you put that seed in the ground, do you next day go dig it up? No, you are a man of faith. You know that that seed's going to come alive and poke its head. But you don't, because you have the faith to believe it. And when that does, you get really excited. But you don't go back and dig it up. And that seed is the Word of God. Mm-hmm. So we need to have the Word of God in our heart. So when we need that harvest, We just can't go say, okay, I need a harvest now and reap a harvest. But when that seed is growing and that seed is watered and that seed is nurtured by the Holy Spirit, and then we need that miracle, we could call on it. And that harvest is ready. You know, the word is so important because it starts out, God created this whole heavens, universe, Milky Ways, whatever, by the word of God. He spoke it. He spoke the word, and he wants us to be, called us to be imitators of God. You know, it says, in the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Who is that? Jesus, Yeshua. He became flesh. He's the word. The word and Jesus are synonymous. So we need to get the word in us, and we need to be word people, and we need to ask the Holy Spirit to activate the word. You know, Jesus told his disciples, he said, it's imperative that I go away. He said, in order that I can send the Holy Spirit, and he will lead you and guide you into all things what I have said. So he knew the word of God was so important that we need to get grounded in the word, that when the storms of life, when the enemy comes, when things that we're not sure of, we can go back to what the word says. It's in the word. And how does the word come? The word cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And we need to have that word, that seed planted in us. So that's why I encourage you, saints, for 2019, that we get into the word of God. And we let that word of God get into us. And we let the word of God become alive. And then we start speaking what the word says. And I love it when we get corrected. Because, you know, we need that. We need to speak what God says. Did you ever hear Jesus speaking about problems? No, he spoke the solutions. He spoke things into existence. And that's what he wants us to do. With our mouth, he says, you'll be snared by the words of our, you either speak death or life. And in that scripture, it says, puts the word death first. So we need to know that the words of God are so powerful. And the word can set us free. The word can deliver us. And the words can cause all things that we have need of. The totality of man's need is met through Jesus Christ and through the word of God. And the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit knows everything about everything. So whenever we are in a situation, we could call upon the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit's been there, done that. So I'm thankful that I'm in a body. And I'm encouraged and built up. And our praise and worship is trying to bring us always to another level in God. That we can build ourselves up. And that's why we need to speak the word. Now, some of you probably don't know, but I had cancer. I had a lymph node that was cancerous. And I went for healing. I went to different churches. I went to everywhere in the body of Christ. That's the body ministry. Laid hands on me, and I knew I was healed. And I told the doctor before the operation that I was healed. And so to respect him, I went through the surgery. And he happened to come in my room after, and it's kind of weird because you don't normally see a doctor when you recover from your anesthetic. It's usually the anesthesiologist is there, right? But the doctor was there. And so the first thing I said, well, was there any cancer? And he says, no. And then they sent me to the Cross Cancer Clinic. They wanted me to do radiation, and they wanted to make sure they got it all. And so there again, Margaret and I, we went there, and I just wanted to respect the doctors and listen to what they had to say. Well, I'll tell you, when they tell you all the side effects you're going to get from radiation, if you didn't have a spirit, bad thoughts hit you then, you sure will after that. But no, we agreed at that point we'd never do it. And I told the doctor that. So he phoned my surgeon that did the operation. And after he talked to him, he comes back and says, I think radiation would be a little overkill at this time. But he says, I want you to come back every 3 months and be checked out. Well, I think it was every month. So I come back every month, and they stick a tube up my nose and look it down there, and even Margaret could see on the screen the flesh that was in my nose in there was just like baby skin. It was like brand new. And I came back every 6 months. And after that, he says, Dad, don't come back again. But you know what? There was times when I knew there was something happening in my body. I could feel change. But I kept speaking the word over my body. I kept saying, by Jesus' stripe, I'm healed. And I was praying in tongues. And I would speak. I remember my brother had a trampoline there, and I was jumping on this trampoline. And I was hollering and screaming, and confessing I'm healed and coming against those evil reports and coming against the sickness and disease, because Jesus Christ paid the price once and for all, and that I am the benefactor of that. But that what comes down to getting the word inside of you. I'm just saying this to and trying to encourage each and every one of you, because I know we all go through. And the importance of coming together as a body, because we need one another. Because sometimes you don't have the strength in yourself, but you come alongside a fellow brother or sister, and they can pray and give a word, and that's really important. So I just encourage you for this year to really get in the word and have the word inside you.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you. Well, I believe that the Lord wanted to have me give opportunity for anyone who would like healing ministry or prayer at this time. So I don't know if there is anybody that is in need of that, but if there is, I wonder, let's see, maybe we should just, is there anyone who needs prayer? Yes? Okay. Do you want to come up? Anyone else? Okay. So is it okay if we pray?
Yes.
Okay. So, Father, we just come to you right now in the situation that Bev is dealing with. And, Lord, we just ask that, first of all, your word of truth be in her heart, be in her mind. And we just speak to any symptoms that are being investigated right now, that they are gone in Jesus' name. We just declare the blood of Jesus over her body in every way, every cell, every tissue. We speak to you now in the name of Jesus. You are healed, healthy, and whole. And we just speak against any fear, any doubt. And, Lord, we just ask that you be with Bev in a way that she's never felt you before, that the strength of your presence is profound to her. And so we look forward to a good report. We thank you, Lord, that you are the truth, the life, and you are the healer. So, Lord, we just give you praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else? Okay. So I thank you for being so attentive to my sharing and the sharing of everyone here today. And I encourage you to do not walk alone. We're here for you. We're here to walk with you through your journey. Healing comes through people. God does it ultimately, but he uses us. He uses us to share words of knowledge and scripture that's spoken over each other to bring about that healing. So Healing Room is going to start again Tuesday, so I encourage you to use us. Come. We are blessed when you come. You are blessed when you come. And we give all the glory to God. He is the only